In the name of Jesus, amen. Lord, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Wisdom. Solomon was not a wise man when he was young, but as he grew and as time and the Lord's law and gospel had its way with him, he gained a heart of wisdom. And so, after much of his life had ticked away, the aged Solomon wrote the following words in Ecclesiastes. He, that is God, has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart. Yet so, that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Now this statement, this wisdom, defies all logic. It confounds the human heart. It overwhelms the mind. For what Solomon is saying is that by God's word and wisdom, everything in this world, whether good or evil, in our eyes is beautiful. It is assigned a proper place, and it will serve some useful purpose in God's cosmic plan. God knows why and in what ways each era of time in human history is beautiful and will serve to the glory of His holy name. And yet, to us mortal creatures, bound by time, such knowledge, such awareness of the bigger picture, if you will, and insights are off limits, as Job found out in a whirlwind. This feeds, mind you, our sinful frustration, the fires of frustration that we have with God and with our neighbor. It would seem, as St. Paul speaks of in Romans, that we are simply left here to suffer the cruel twists and turns of life. As he says, we are sheep to be slaughtered. Our hearts, our lives are constantly pierced by unthinkable sinful acts and the devious maneuverings of humankind. And all the while, God seems to be far off. He seems to be aloof. He seems to be indifferent to our sufferings. But then St. Paul cries out after us, "No, I tell you, you are conquerors in all things." The mysterious grace of God, basically what Paul is saying is this, that God is building through the foolishness of the world and the crosses that you bear throughout your earthly life. He's building a faith and a hope and a longing for His flesh and His blood, this eternal future that He has prepared for you and that He is unfolding to us finite, that is, time-bound creatures. In short, the turn of the calendar calls not for calculation or clarity. It simply calls for faith and trust. It's fair to say that the eve of the new year brings with it all sorts of feelings and thoughts and longings, as is beautifully written in the hymn that you sang for this night, 899. Longing for life to be better, that is, whether it's more love and less hate, or more patience and less anger, or more unity and less strife, or more compassion and less finger-pointing, or more repentance and less deflecting. We all yearn for God's advent, the advent of a better world, where rulers are just and good, and where peace and life flourish according to God's appointed beautiful ordering. On the eve of a new year, Such is often the unspoken and universal instinct of humanity in general. But they long for a better world and life. So yes, as Solomon says, God has placed a sense of eternity in man's heart. That is to say, everyone knows that there is a beginning and an end. That there is a bassinet and a burial ground, if you will. That everything is supposed to have a sense and purpose to it. But here's the rub. Here's the problem. Just how does it all fit together? I mean, all people can see that time changes our bodily existence. That blonde and brunette turn to gray and gone. That eagle vision becomes now a matter of magnifying glasses and large print bulletins. Strong muscles become frail muscles and bodies that are too weak to do much of anything. But in this materialistic view, the meaning of time is limited to one's earthly life, their bodily existence. Nothing can or more or will be believed in or hoped for or longed for. You live, you die, that's it. Game over. Maybe at best, some people, they might roll the dice on their best dead and they might hope to transcend time, a vain and foolish hope, by some sort of any machine or new medical technology that's coming out or a breakthrough. Or maybe it's just that they simply think by the sheer will that they want to live, that though the sweet sunlight no longer hits their eyes, that they'll open them yet again to that sunlight. Men ought to know. We ought to know better. But for most people, for sinful man, he cannot imagine anything worse than death. The Psalm 90, which is appointed for New Year's Eve always for the reading, written by Moses, teaches us, as you heard in the gradual, that we would number our days in order that we may gain a heart of wisdom. That is to say that our days pass away not merely because the clock ticks, but rather, as Moses will say more in the Psalm 90, it's because of God's judgment and His mercy that He has put a limit to our existence here that is mixed with both good and evil. I mean, if ever there was a time to number our days and so receive that heart of wisdom, is it not on the last day of a new year? On the eve of a night when soon no man will be able to work and only men shall live in God, and outside of God there will be no life? I mean, think about it. It's quite a sad irony that those who speak most loudly about spending their time the best, making the most of their time, cannot read the clock and the ticks and the minutes that are passing away. While those who order their days and their deeds in the peace of Christ Jesus, and according to God's eternal plan and will, never seem to be in a hurry, never arrive late, and are always in the right place. Truly, as Solomon says, God is the only one who knows how everything fits together. How the shards of this broken life and any number of other pieces of our lives that are fractured, how it will become this crystal clear eternity with a marriage supper of the Lamb that shall have no end, really only God knows. And so hoping and yearning and longing, these are not unique to Christians, these things. But what is unique to Christians is the answer that God reveals in Holy Scripture to such hoping and yearning and longing and waiting. What is unique is that He sends His only Son to us in a manger and into our flesh to be our God and the justifier of the just. That what is unique is that what is unique, which is found nowhere else on earth or in no one else, is the birth and life and death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus. What is unique is that none of us are born of blood. None of us are born of the will of the flesh. None of us are born of the will of man either. But we are all born of God. And that is unique to Christians. For in Jesus, and only in Jesus, does our longing become eternal and beyond the confines of this space and time. Only in Jesus, God's eternal Son, are we eternal creatures, born of His water and word, born also of the New Testament of His body and His blood. So St. Paul rhetorically asks in Romans 8, he asks, if God is for us, who can be against us? How shall Jesus, born in a manger and crucified on a cross, not give us freely all things that we need to support this body and life? And more so, who shall bring any charge against you? The elect, the chosen ones of God, by His grace and His mercy. After all, do you not know that God justifies you in the midst of your sin? No one can condemn you for that which He has already forgiven you and washed away by the blood of Jesus. And if that weren't enough for us, Jesus also crushes sin, death, and the devil, our three greatest enemies, beneath His crucified feet, and He's now raised to the right hand of the Father, and He intercedes eternally for us, purifying us as we are pure and making us eternal creatures, which He has declared us to be by His word. I think we all realize, or at least I hope that we all realize, that not a single one of us can add a single tick of a moment to our life. We can't buy, we can't hope, we can't pray, we can't get more time. Only in the Lord's Word, baptized and eating His supper, are we declared and are eternal creatures. Sin forgiven, death defeated, and the calendar largely, if you will, canceled. Jesus alone is the answer to the unceasing longing that we have of our wearied bodies and souls. Jesus alone is the one who swallows the bitter disappointments of times past, but He also pours the wine of hope and gladness in the coming years and into all eternity. Jesus alone then feeds and fills our constant hunger for mercy of the past and hope for years to come. So tonight, we as children of God, eternal creatures, we are called to stay dressed and ready for action, for our Lord's coming, if you will. We are to keep our lamps burning with this oil of faith. We are to live in the present, knowing that each day has its own troubles and afflictions, yet realizing that such afflictions and crosses do not separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Because unlike the materialist, the one who just simply sees point A and point B and then that's it, we know that all flesh is grass, and we know that all its glory is like the flower that fades. But what we also know is that the Lord's word endures forever, and that we live in that word who was made flesh for us. We live in the past in the sense that we recall the promises of God made to our forefathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, the prophetic witness of the Old Testament. And we also look to the apostolic word and the promises God made to the apostles and to his entire church. And in that word, the prophetic and apostolic word, we let the past be the past. Knowing that the Lord could raise the sons of Adam from the stones of this earth. And we also know that even as Moses fed our forefathers in the desert with manna, and though they died, we know and now in these gray and latter days, in these last days, on this eve of this new year, Christ has become flesh and dwells among us. And he dresses himself for service, and he reclines at table with us, and he serves us with his body and his blood. An eternal testimony to our eternal nature. So the question, therefore, on New Year's Eve really isn't which temporal direction you're facing, but rather whether the past, the present, and the future, do you remember and perceive and foresee and know that all of it is bathed in the light and mercy and grace of Christ Jesus? Because outside the Word of God, good and evil commingle, sheep to be slaughtered, the passage of time is perilous and quite pernicious in a lot of ways, and we are all getting older. As the clock ticks on to our dread midnight, a devilish thief is waiting to snatch it away from us, though that which was born of to us and given to us by God's word and sacrament. But by numbering our days in the heart of God and in the life of God and in the gifts of God, we live our vocations in this beautiful time, regardless of its year, knowing that redemption has been brought by Christ Jesus, not despite the hours and the days, but in them and through them. So a blessed new year in the eternal care of our Lord Jesus Christ to all of you, and to the Lord who is everlasting to everlasting. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all your understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto eternal life. Amen. Amen.